Welcome to Lesson 7, a discussion of the four holding environments. When I was writing the book, The Mandala of Being, one of the questions I kept looking at was, why is it that we keep coming back to the same kind of emotional state? Why is it that when people win the lottery, they feel graced and blessed for weeks? But if you follow them and question them a year later, you discover that whatever their emotional nature was, their emotional temperament was, prior to winning the lottery, it has returned. They may still have the money, but they don't have the joy. They don't have the gratitude. They don't have the sense that they have been graced by life. The answer to this question, I believe, has to do with why we select certain thoughts in the stream of mind, and identify with them and allow them to define our emotional reality, and why other thoughts go unheeded, unnoticed, in the stream of mind. The way in which we create a sense of ourself as an adult is built upon previous environments or previous stages of development. The first holding environment is the womb. Since it's not really important to our work here, we won't just discuss it in depth, though I speak about it more in the book. But just simply to know that we are in an unconscious state responding to the emotional, chemical nurturance of our mother's lives, and that we tend then to be predisposed to speak the language our mother speaks. We tend to a particular orientation emotionally if she was happy during her pregnancy, or if she was anxious and afraid, we tend to be more geared to a survival orientation in terms of our own nervous development. Once we're born, our nervous systems are not complete, and we require nurturance, we require attention from our caregivers. And yet we still are not conscious about ourselves, but our sense of self is beginning to take shape by the way our parents are responding to our feelings, our behaviors, our sounds, our moods. Gradually we begin to have a consistent sense of self. Whatever that sense of self is, it wasn't chosen consciously. We kind of materialize into it by the age of 4, 5, 6. And from that point on, whatever it is that we feel about ourselves starts to determine what thoughts we will identify with, what thoughts we'll suppress. If we're feeling insufficient at some level in ourselves, we may begin to tell ourselves stories about how powerful we are, or how smart we are, or how clever we are. We create an idealized self, a way of surviving our own pain. This self becomes its own way of holding us, what I've referred to as the third holding environment. We can be 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old, long, long out of the home of our family of origin, yet we ourselves have internalized a particular way of feeling about ourselves. And as a result, when a thought comes that doesn't fit that feeling, we tend to exclude it. When a thought comes that fits that feeling, we tend to identify with it, thus preserving our basic emotional state. So something happens that makes us feel good, but it doesn't register very strongly. But something happens that makes us feel guilty or makes us feel unloved, and it registers profoundly strongly. This is the activity, the unconscious influence on us, what the third environment is doing, the third holding environment. Again, this environment is not conscious. It's not a conscious choice to resist a word of praise and let it light us up and make us feel wonderful. It's not a conscious choice to hear a word of criticism and have it plunge us into a sense of despair, resentment, inadequacy. This has all been programmed by the way we've been unconsciously identifying with our thoughts, moment by moment. when we awaken and experience who we really are in the present moment, we enter the fourth holding environment. Think about it for a moment. What has always been holding us? What's holding you right now? Wherever you are, hearing my voice speak these words, as it has always been and always will be, you're being held, as am I, as is everyone and everything, in this present moment. The mind of now, the awareness of the present moment, is not conditioned by previous thoughts. It isn't a dimension of thought at all. Bringing ourselves into the now, suddenly we become aware of the thoughts entering our mind. Positive or negative, we can observe them. We can say thank you to them. We can be indifferent to them. They enter, they leave. We remain spacious. We remain calm. So we don't become conscious. We don't start to awaken until we begin to rest our awareness more and more completely in the present moment. The fourth holding environment has different rules. In the fourth holding environment, this moment, this present moment, the way you accept a thought, as opposed to identify with a thought, creates the experience of yourself. If you accept a thought, oh, that's a thought that makes me critical of myself, that would make me critical of myself if I identify with it, that thought has little energy. If we see it just as a thought, it has almost no power over us. If we touch a sensation, wanting that sensation to be gone, if it's a feeling of loneliness and we don't want it, we're refusing it, then we suffer. If in the now moment we turn toward loneliness and we look and we bring our breath softly to it and we're present and there is no reaction, no future in which it has to be away, no past that tells us this is a bad feeling, this is a feeling I don't want, this is a feeling that's part of my history of abandonment. Without any of those thoughts, in the now moment, sadness is just a rich part of our human experience, and it ceases to have a grip on us and is replaced in moments by peace. In the now moment, how you touch your experience. By touch, I mean the quality with which you are present with what's happening to you determines how you experience yourself and what the experience seems like to you. For example, if you touch with rejection, then the experience is something bad. If you touch with acceptance, the experience is what it is. The quality of the attention you bring to yourself or anyone else is the greatest gift you'll ever give. The greatest gift we ever give ourselves is the quality of our attention, when it is gentle and accepting, non-judgmental, non-reactive. Then in that moment we feel good, full, whole, joyous, grateful. When our attention is judgmental, rejecting, critical, then in that moment we suffer. We feel guilty or angry or hurt or ashamed. In the now moment, how you touch your experience defines you and defines the experience. This has always been the case, which is why it's so important to wake up from our unconscious identification with our stories, our unconscious reaction to our feelings. Learning to be gentle, learning to bring a spacious, curious, non-reactive mind to look at our experience is the path that leads to freedom and liberation.